Hey, Mary Lou.
Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for being on Stranger Danger.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for sitting down. I met you in line at a concert.
Yes, you did.
At the Foo Fighters pre-Super Bowl show, right?
Right.
All right. And I think I met you early that morning or afternoon. When did you get there?
I think I got there about 1 o'clock because I won the tickets.
Yeah, you won the tickets on the radio. What radio station did you win it on?
I won them on iHeart Radio. Actually, our friend Amy sent me a text a week and a half before that and said, send Foo to this, text Foo to this number. I never answer my phone. My phone was ringing. It's this strange number. I'm like, oh, who could this be? iHeart Radio.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And then
that's right. You got Christine's tickets.
Yeah, I got Christine. So here's the way the Foo Fighters, I mean, both of us are hardcore fans, and I've talked about my favorite band in a previous podcast, but we're going to go a little more in depth on them here. But I've loved that band since 1997 when I heard them in a movie called Varsity Blues. Yeah, so they play in the movie, My Hero is playing, and they play it twice in football scenes. And then that's when I started loving them. It was the movie came out in 97. I think I watched it in 98. But
I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, it's in there twice. It's in there twice. And then I fell in love with them, and I bought everything they've had up to that point. And when I started listening to them, they had just came out with There's Nothing Left to Lose, and I got all three of those albums. And then I fell in love with them ever since. I've seen them 8 times. And then, so the thing about how it works is through the Foo Fighters fan groups or whatever on Facebook, there's a lot of people that meet each other, and you see each other on Facebook, but you don't always meet that person until you go to a concert.
Right.
And I feel like this is a situation where I think I saw you commenting on people's stuff, but I never saw you until I met you in the Foo Fighters line.
Right,
so
right.
Which was February 2019.
Yeah.
When they were here, when the Super Bowl was here in Atlanta.
Right,
so
right.
That was pretty amazing. So up to that point, how many concerts have you seen?
You know, I have to think because I'm still trying to remember back when I lived in Las Vegas where I saw Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Yeah.
Because I thought I saw them in Las Vegas, but they didn't play in Las Vegas. So anyway, that's another story. Because I saw the most Foo Fighter concerts here.
Yeah?
Yes, I saw Wasting Light at Gwinnett Arena.
Awesome.
And then I saw the Throne, Sonic Highways.
So they were at the Throne here. They were probably at the
Centennial
Olympic Park.
Went to that. And then I went to Birmingham, Alabama, which is basically 1975.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To see Concrete and Gold, and then, of course, that day, tickets went on sale for Concrete and Gold down at the big-ass stadium at Georgia State Stadium, and then the Super Saturday Night.
Yep.
And then I'm trying to think, because I lived in Cincinnati, and I know I saw them a couple times up there, but I think I've seen them. Well, how many concerts is that?
Probably at about... Probably four or five here. Yeah.
Probably about 8, and I'm trying to remember because my daughter is going to be 23. I'm trying to remember. I'd have to look to see because I don't. And I know it sounds odd because we used to have to travel to a lot of odd places to see concerts up in Ohio. I used to be, and I still am, a big Yes fan.
Yeah.
And I've seen them over 100 times. So that's
amazing. 100.
Well, they would come to Madison Square Garden and play for a week, and I would go every night.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So yeah, as far as the venues I've seen them at was the Gwinnett Arena when I first seen them on the. In Your Honor tour.
Oh.
That was when I was old enough to start going to concerts. Really, I was like 19, 20.
That's a great venue.
Yeah, it's a great venue, but it's called something else now. But so then the next time was at the Tabernacle. They came here on Echo Silence Patience of Grace tour, and I was on the front row pretty much there. So that was interesting.
You know, I saw One by One, but I'd have to Google it and see where I saw it. That's how long, because I had the T-shirt.
Yeah. So my third time was Wasting Light in Gwen Arena. Wasting Light in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh.
Yeah. And, yeah, we did a whole spectacle of that. It was the fourth time was Wasting Light at the Verizon Center in D.C. Yeah. Fifth was the Music Midtown here in Atlanta.
Oh, wait, yeah. I did go to – I forgot about that. See?
Yeah, yeah. There, Music Midtown Atlanta, they were here.
That's right.
And then sixth
That's right.
Sixth was – seventh.
You didn't go to the
– Yeah, oh, sixth was Wrigley Field.
Oh,
sixth.
You traveled.
And we're on the throne. No, I lived in Chicago at the time.
Oh, okay.
Wrigley Field. And then he was on the throne then. Because, first of all, side note, he broke his leg at a show in Sweden.
Right.
And then he came back he came back and finished the show.
Right.
But then they canceled a few shows.
Right.
But then they created a throne. He created a throne. You just have to look at Dave Grohl throne. Google it. He created a throne so that he could tour on the throne, the rock and roll throne. So
right.
There was a lot of guitar necks out of it. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But so he was on the throne for that one.
Yeah, he was on the throne for Centennial Olympic Park too.
And then 7 and 8 for me was Georgia State Stadium. And then he called it Big Ass Stadium. And then 8 was they created a venue right there at right down in Atlanta. It's right before the Super Bowl.
Atlantic Station.
The Atlantic Station. They created a venue, and we were both there. That's where I met you.
Right.
And they created an 8,500 quote unquote seater, but people were standing.
Right.
Nobody was really sitting.
Right.
8,500 capacity venue just for them. So that was really cool and really interesting how they did that, and that was amazing.
Was that the first Super Saturday Night?
No. J-Lo was the year before that, and they beat J-Lo in ratings.
Well, no wonder I didn't know.
Yeah, they beat J-Lo in ratings, which for her that was good, but then they eclipsed that.
Right.
And it was great. That show was amazing, you know. We got to see I actually saw Queen with Adam Lambert, I think it was last year or the year before. It was the year before.
I never saw that.
Yeah, but before that, but I got because the drummer for Queen showed up and played Roger Taylor while Taylor Hawkins came out on mic and sang.
That was amazing.
It was really cool, yeah. And then Perry Farrell and Zach Brown came out for War Pigs, and with Tom Morello, who I've met Tom Morello.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really cool dude. He came out. He was there that night, and you were on the front with me too as well, but you were probably, I think, what, middle somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't. How did you get. You bought your tickets.
Bought my tickets, but I didn't get the VIP because I didn't realize that was a thing. So we had to work our asses off to stand out there all morning. I got there at 6 a.m. that morning.
I couldn't get up to the front. Christine and I tried, and David, and I think she got up. I was content with where I was because I wasn't supposed to, because I was in the waiting room to get the tickets. The day they went on sale,
yeah.
And I got kicked out because, you know, it was sold out.
Yep.
Then my husband said, spend the $250 and get a ticket. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know, you know, what if it snows? And then sure enough, we had a snow. They forecasted snow and shut everything down. And that's when I won the ticket. The station called me that day and said, you can't come today because we're closed because of the snow we never got. So when I was very happy to just be there. I was not far from the front, but I wasn't on the rail like I was for Georgia State Stadium, which I'm surprised I didn't meet you at that. But
the Georgia State Stadium? Yeah. I was out up front. I was pretty close. The guy that he came up to play drums was close to me.
Oh, that
I forgot his name. But Dave Grohl brought him on stage to play drums twice. He brought him on stage to play drums in South Carolina.
Pierce Tracy Edge.
Pierce Tracy Edge, yeah.
Yeah.
He brought him on stage to play drums in South Carolina, I think, in Columbia.
Yeah.
And then that night with us, like, he brought him on stage to do that, and we were all like, because he passed us, I felt like. He passed us in a tried to get ahead of us, and we knew what he was doing, but we're like, but then when we found out what he was doing, like, okay, that's cool, I guess.
He wore the same polka dot shirt.
Yeah, he wore that same shirt. I think he wore that same shirt because he wanted to be seen. He wanted him to.
He was good.
He was good, yeah.
I liked that.
But they were kind of egging him on a little bit. Taylor was egging him on a little bit. Have you met any of them?
No, I've met the cast of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I've got that down pat.
I've met two of the six Foo Fighters. I've met Chris Shiflett, And then I've met Taylor Hawkins. I met Taylor Hawkins, the drummer.
I want to sniff him.
Yeah. I met him very high energy, and he was still kind of like bouncing off the walls a little bit after the show. But met him in Chicago along with Christine and David, and like everybody within the Foo Fighters group, the family, you can quote unquote call it family. We'll get into more of that here in a second. But people either know about somebody, or then you meet them before or after the show or wherever, like you at least cross paths once. It's so interesting.
It is.
I've crossed paths with Sarah, the British lady, a million times.
Oh, she's great. I met her at Georgia State Stadium.
Yeah.
And I was happy to meet her, and she takes the most amazing photos.
Yeah. She does take a lot, yeah.
And Juliet takes a lot of good photos and videos, mm-hmm. but she's big. I've never seen Chevy Metal, which I'd like to do.
Yeah, that's where I met Taylor when he was doing that.
And it's crazy. And I met Amy. It's funny, you know, Amy. I send packages over to Foo Family in the UK that I've never met.
Yeah, yeah.
And I became close with a girl named Sue that lives in Wales. And
I've seen her on there.
I'm sorry?
She's the one that runs the group, right?
She runs it in the UK.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And she, I got away from what I was talking. Amy had these glasses, these Foo Fighters sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah.
And I messaged her on Facebook because I think what is her name? Lisa Woodward.
Yeah.
Had them. And I'm like, where'd you get them? And she told me Amy. I messaged Amy. And I was afraid to message Amy.
Yeah.
And now we're friends. And she.
Amazing.
She's the one that helped me get the tickets for Super Saturday Night. She, a couple weeks ago.
Amy Lundeen, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, she's great.
A couple weeks ago when two Saturdays ago, because I go to work out in Sandy Springs twice a week. I'm on 75 North and I get a text because those vans sold out. And she sent me a text. She said, I found vans in stock. I pull off the highway and I order the vans.
Yeah, those vans, they don't work for me because I wear my shoes like this. So, like, I would put them over the FF, I wouldn't put them underneath.
Oh,
so they wouldn't be like the main attraction of what you're trying to show off would be hidden from me because I'm not gonna tuck them into my shoe.
You can cuffing them is cool. Maybe not.
I don't know. I'm set in my ways on how I wear things.
I think for straight guys, cuffing the jeans isn't a thing. You know what?
So going to what you were just saying, now let's talk about this one, right? So the situation of the fundraiser situation that went to shit.
Oh, we're talking about that.
Let's talk about that, all right? So set this up. I want you to set this up.
Were you in the group?
Yes, I was in the group at the time, but I didn't know what happened. So set this up.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about it because I want to know exactly what happened with this, about the details. Like, because I saw it happening. But I wasn't involved.
In the UK group, you saw it happening?
Yes.
Oh.
I saw it happening. So set this up. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
What happened with this fundraiser?
Well.
Start from the beginning here. What happened with this fundraiser here?
I guess. Now, what is her name? Jen? I'm trying to remember what her name is. I mean, when people bring it up, the hair on the back of my neck stands up.
Yeah.
She said she had cancer.
Jen.
Right.
Okay.
Is that her name?
I don't remember. It's okay. It's just...
So she wanted to go over to the UK to meet everybody.
Yeah.
So there was a big, we're going to donate money to fly her over there.
And this is all happening in the Foo Fighters fan group in the UK.
Right.
Okay.
It's all right. Happening there. And, you know, I'm... and she's constantly posting in there and, you know, someone set up a separate group within that group for the fundraiser.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and there were people that were donating like their last dollar to get this girl over there. And... Roxanne and a guy named Steve who left Facebook and left the group and left everything, they flew her and Doug, who if I ever see Doug, anyway, mm-hmm. I'll never see Doug, but if I ever see
yeah,
Doug,
I got you.
Flew her to Seattle. Is that right? For the reveal.
For the reveal of the thing, yeah.
And it was live.
Yeah.
And it was all, I'm sobbing mm-hmm. watching this whole thing. And very involved in it. She got flowers. It was, I think Steve worked at a radio station at the time. I have to remember how many years ago this was.
It was a couple of years ago.
And, yeah. And so then she got the money, and she was going to fly over there. And the first red flag for me was, don't post anything on my page about my cancer. Now, my brother had prostate cancer.
Yeah.
My friends had cancer. Everybody, they post it. They want prayers.
Yes.
Even if they're not religious. My neighbors.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be in school.
It's all good.
I don't know what's going on
here. It's online
learning.
It's
Georgia. But anyway, I shouldn't say that. It's probably everywhere. So we started to post a couple things, and she would immediately take it down.
Yeah, big red flag.
And so I started to test the waters. So I, and then it was, she can't come, she can't come, she can't come, she's too sick, she can't come. Some of the details are probably a little sketchy with me remembering. But when I said to someone over there, I think she's lying.
Because and then you take a big risk of putting yourself out there by saying that.
And then so I told it to this girl that I'm probably the closest with over there in the UK, not Sue, somebody else. And her and another guy video chatted me one night so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Because she had a feeling too, because it just, and I don't want to say she didn't look sick, but she didn't look sick.
Yeah.
And my brother had prostate cancer, and he was going through radiation, and he looked awful. And she was supposedly having chemo, radiation. Someone here on the U.S., I found out later, I'm like, who confirmed this? Someone here confirmed she had it.
Somebody took it and ran with it. And just kind of, it's such a compelling story. You don't want to doubt someone. Like, you don't want to think the worst of someone like that.
No.
That's not what you want to do.
No. And I said it to her. I said it to one girl. And then it came out.
Yeah.
I messaged her myself. And I said, I think you're lying. And if you're lying, I'm going to have a really big problem, because Paula Page donated. No, Lindsay, a girl over there, Lindsay donated. She had an autographed. See, it's a lot. There was merchandise. There was Foo Fighter merchandise that people gave up to give.
To that, make that happen, yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what Paula Page did.
So when it unraveled, did she come clean or did she?
No. When it unraveled, what happened was, it was awful. And I felt, and I was talking to another girl, Julia Archer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I should be saying names or not.
It's okay.
Okay. I was messaging her because Doug was going after me in that Facebook group. And he was saying this and that. And now it's coming back to me. Doug started to.
I'm going to see if I'm still friends with him on Facebook. Keep talking.
Doug started to. He started to post in the UK group about how he was in touch with the doctors and he was getting this and he was getting that and he was getting this. And I said, you're full of shit. Because you cannot talk to her doctor unless you are on her HIPAA. So then it was all a backpedal.
Yeah.
Are you still friends
so
with him?
So it's backpedaling. Douglas William Scott, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm friends with him.
Oh, he blocked me.
Oh, yeah?
Because he was engaged to somebody else when he was doing this with Jen, and we were messaging her.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, so yeah, HIPAA laws, you can't really, yeah.
Right, so then that started to unravel, and then he started to attack me on the, and I said to Julia, I said, I told her, if I'm wrong and I owe you an apology, you have to give me your phone number, and I will call you, and I will apologize to you, and I will tell everyone I was wrong, but I think you're lying, so here's your chance. The next thing you know, she's in the hospital. Right? So yeah. What am I thinking? Either she really has cancer and she took a turn for the worst. I drove her over the edge because I told her, I said, look, I did a little lie to catch her, to get her into the, I said, I'm going to claim my donation to your thing, your charity, on my taxes, which I can't do because that was a gift. To try and draw it out of her when I got a flat no. I'm like, if somebody accused me of faking cancer, I would be like, motherfucker, meet me at the flagpole at 3 o'clock. I'm going to kick your ass.
So she was super, like, she was defensive. She was basically defensive, and she was trying to find a way to...
Defensive and...
not fess up.
Right. And so then someone started to help me when she was in the hospital. Well, we started to dig before that. And started to talk to, there's a girl over there, Sam, that started to talk to other family members. And they said that she was a drug addict, and this is not the first time that she's done that, and she's done it in other groups. And it was nieces and nephews and family.
So basically, and then she went away. Did she just... What happened with her? Is she no longer a part of the groups or anything?
I don't know. I mean, the thing that I see, I don't even remember if I...
Because what's interesting about that is that I've looked at separate articles of people who've gone into those groups like that and have done the same thing. She's not the only one. People who prey on people who share a same love of the band.
Right.
And then you feel close to someone because of that, so you want to help them out. And that's, I've seen separate articles about situations like that, but not hers particular. So
I would never.
That particular situation is just insane.
I would never. And then her boy, another red flag, Sam over in the UK did a lot of digging. She's a real night owl. I don't think she ever slept. And then in the morning, I had nightmares at night about this, that I was wrong and that I owed her an apology and that I owed everybody else an apology. And I had nightmares that I was wrong, and I had nightmares that she saw my message about me reporting the thing to the IRS, and she overdosed.
Yeah.
But she, I don't know, I don't, and I think Steve Wid found out why she was in the hospital. I don't know how, but he did.
Yeah.
People were messaging Andrea, this girl Andrea over there, got so involved that all the then we lost all the family contacts. Sam got blocked because people really started to get involved. And
that was a couple of years ago, right? Had to have been like three.
Yeah,
because I remember seeing it. Because both of, like, I was seeing it from a spectator's angle.
Yeah.
I wasn't involved.
Right.
I was just watching the comments.
Right.
And I think people do that with me sometimes. When I used to fight people on Facebook, people would just watch it and not be involved and, like, have their popcorn or whatever.
Oh, people are doing that with my timeline right now over
that's
this
how
Trump
I
thing.
That's how I was doing it through that situation. And then I watched it all, like, explode and unravel even more. I'm like, oh, my God. I can't believe it. Now, here's the caveat of that, right? We know people in the group that have died. Andrea Diamond.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, like, and I
took a picture of them at Super Saturday Night.
Of and cancer. We met her that night. She was there.
It makes me sick.
Did you know her before that?
No.
I've seen her in line in other places before that, and I've met her in line.
Amy Price, I think she died of, I don't know if she died of COVID-related.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Amy
Price. She died.
Friends with her?
Yeah, probably.
And there was another one. There was another one, and I cannot remember what her name was. for some for the life of me right now. I can't remember. Yeah, Amy Price.
But
yeah, we I'm not friends with her, but we got a lot of friends in common from.
Yeah, she's dead.
Good Lord.
That was a shock.
Yeah. There's another one, and I forgot her name. I can see her. I can see her face in my mind.
Yeah. So my neighbor's next door here.
Yeah.
Their son was going into, he was going to be an officer in, I forget what he was going to do with the military. But the FBI came to my house because they were asking me questions about the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called the FBI. I called him. Because he sat in my house for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Asking me all kinds of questions about them.
Yeah.
They're very clever. They ask the same question but a different way to try and trip you up. And I'm like, dude, you just asked me that. But anyway, I called him and I told him what happened. And he said, you have to call cyber crimes. Because I called the FBI and I filed a complaint. I got everybody that donated money to file a complaint online. People that couldn't file a complaint online, I filed it for them. And a lot of them lived over in England. I devoted a lot of time and blood, sweat, and tears into this. And I often wonder if people think I'm a jerk for doing that.
I don't think so.
I don't know. But she just Jennifer Nagel, she just disappeared. And I still look and I see friends. I go through my friends every now and again, and I look because I'm in a scale down or I'm in a clean house because there's no way I have 906 friends anywhere. I have them on Facebook. I look and I see people are still friends with her.
Wait, that she's the one?
Yeah.
She's the one that faked it?
I mean, that's her.
I didn't realize that was her.
That's her. Yep.
It looks like she hasn't posted anything.
And her boyfriend was convicted of.
Still got 66 friends in common. So apparently there were not enough people that gave up on her. I didn't notice.
I have a feeling that they're. See, I don't know. And I, like with this QAnon stuff, I don't want to sound like a kook, but I have a feeling people are just watching her to make one wrong move.
Because she hasn't posted since 2017. She hasn't posted since February 5th, 2017. So
she might have another account.
She might
go under another name. But the guilt that I had from even, and you know what, and the girl that we were so neurotic about it, she knew too, the first girl that I spoke to, do I want to say their
it's
names?
It's okay, don't have to say the first name.
Gemma.
Yeah.
And Steve. Steve was staying with her at the time. They FaceTimed me on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we were so neurotic because they thought something was off because she got the money and months and months and months went by and it's like she's too sick to travel, but she was traveling with Doug.
Yeah.
It's like, why is she not traveling? And so I'm starting to, and I'm like, dude, I knew I could tell her this. I said, I don't think she has it.
There's no telling how much that kind of fraud and it goes on every single day, and just like people that prey on people's, you know, emotions. I mean, just their emotions and how, you know, you get into something. Like, it's just crazy.
And then Julia gave us our money back. I donated a lot of money, and I said, "Give me back this much, and take the rest, and give it to someone that needs it. Keep it for yourself. Donate it to another charity. It's gone."
So, like, if. I mean, these people exist, and it's a shame that these people exist, but they do. And yeah. She's not the only one, and that's the biggest shame of it all. She's not the only one that's going to do that in groups like that. There's no telling how that's happened in other groups or whatever. And then the situation of there's that one guy, I think I was friends with, he would always get on there and say he was going to kill himself. And
I don't like that either.
I will have a conversation with you until I'm blue in the face about this conversation, like about this. But there's a certain attention-seeking factor, which that guy was doing constantly.
Right.
And I even know the same kind of guy that did that to keep his girl from breaking up with him because he threatened to kill himself over and over again. And I told the girl, I'm like, he's just using it as a tactic.
Right.
Like people who are genuine about it, They're not going to do that.
Right. They're not going to tell
you.
They're
going to use it over your head as leverage, and it's not right.
Right.
But going back from that, let's rewind a little bit. So let's rewind quite a bit, actually. So you're from where exactly?
Clifton, New Jersey.
New Jersey. And you found your way down here when?
2007. Corporate relocation from, I moved from Jersey in 1992 with my husband, who was my, he just got divorced. He relocated from Michigan to Cincinnati, Ohio. And then I lived there for 16 long years. Mm-hmm. And then we came down here in 2007.
Yeah?
Yeah.
2007. That's when I joined the Marine Corps. And that was when I saw Foo Fighters at Tabernacle.
Oh, wow.
2 weeks before boot camp.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
I was still finding my way. My first concert here was Nickelback.
Oh, my God.
My daughter's fifth grade teacher dragged me to it. Nickelback and the Flaming Lips, and you know the Flaming Lips were amazing.
I mean, Nickelback, they got some hits, but like they're not on the same.
They
level
were awful.
As the Foos. They got hits though. I mean, everyone knows the Photograph song.
Yeah,
everyone knows that song.
They were drunk. They were cursing. They were yelling. It was a mosh pit because it was ceiling to ground, lightning. It was horrible.
Where'd you see them at?
Lakewood Amphitheater.
Oh.
And I was on the lawn.
Oh, you're on the lawn.
So okay. It was just like a slip and slide. Everybody was and I don't drink. So
I saw Creed. Oh,
really?
Outside of DC. And like, they're what as advertised. Like,
right.
They were, you know, late 90s, early 2000s in that time frame.
Okay.
But everyone knows the songs.
Yeah.
With Arms Wide Open. Everybody knows those songs.
Yeah.
So like you can hate on them all day. But you're going to find yourself at least humming the chorus.
Oh, sure.
You're going to find yourself at least humming or singing the chorus.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows those songs. But I got that ticket for free. Because in Quantico, on base, we used to get free tickets to concerts all the time.
Oh, you were in Quantico?
Yeah, that's where I was stationed. So I would always get free, we'd always get free tickets, and I'd always be the driver. And I was cool with driving wherever. And then one of the guys just texted me that I used to, he's going to be the best man of our wedding.
Yeah.
And he texted me a few minutes ago, but he was one of the ones that I would always be driving around. I was an Uber as a Marine before even Uber was a thing.
You were Uber before Uber.
I was Ubering before Uber was a thing in the Marine Corps.
But I was the designated driver.
I just felt comfortable driving in the D.C. area, like because I drove up there all the time. So, you know. But I wonder now if, like, I would still need GPS right now, I feel like, because I haven't been there in a couple of years. So.
Yeah.
But as far as down here goes, like, you settled, were you somewhere before you were here in this nice house here?
No, this is it.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're the first owners of the house. This was the last one for sale in this subdivision. It's a bit of a wacko nut job, kind of a, our HOA is kind
really?
Of, oh, yeah.
You got a little. You got a nice little cul-de-sac over here, and this little. It's good.
This is nice.
Is that all that your property right there? And that.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got some wing nuts in here.
Some wing nuts.
Yeah, we do. Our HOA is a bit of a. They're on a power trip. With how they are, Belize. Public shaming in the Facebook group kind of thing. They're all from Florida.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's there's a lot of division in here like there is in the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pro-Trumpers around here still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not speaking to someone that I used to be, that I was friends with.
Through the Foo Fighters fan group, did you see that play out like I did? See how some people shut it out, just trying to be all music oriented because Foo Fighters came out and they pretty much did what I knew they were going to do, and they were going to throw their weight behind Biden, and throw their weight behind the Democratic Party. I knew they would.
Of course they would.
So I feel like if you love that band enough, you should have already known they were going to do that. So you should not have been shocked.
Well, they've been political all along.
The song Best of You came out because he was on tour with John Kerry. He was on the campaign with John Kerry and wrote Best of You during that while he was on tour with them.
Right. So it's the funniest thing about that whole business was I was watching it. In the TV room, because it's like a sports bar in here. When something's on, it's on every channel. Mm-hmm. My husband yelled, Barack Obama is playing bass with Foo Fighters. And I said, I ran out in the kitchen because I'm like, I'm watching, am I watching a different version of it in the back? In the back? And I said, that's Pat Smear and that's not the bass. And then it went down the rabbit hole of Pap Smear and that whole thing. And I'm like, Mike, you bought the Nirvana albums, you know.
He was just a touring member. He wasn't officially.
Well, he was in there for a little while.
Yeah, for a little while, but he really only toured. I don't know if they gave him credits on in. I don't think he got credit on in Utero, but yeah, he was a touring member. But nonetheless, I mean, the way that band was, they were young and they blew up and they were down to earth.
Right.
Until Kurt, it became too much for him. So.
But
for everybody that really listened to the podcast doesn't know, and you may or may not know this, but Foo Fighters. It was created because Dave Grohl was the drummer of Nirvana, and then Kurt Cobain killed himself, and then Dave Grohl got from behind the drum set, and then started his own band.
Yeah.
And when he started his own band, he went in the recording studio and recorded every instrument.
Right.
And then on all the songs on the first Foo Fighters album, because he didn't want anybody to know it was him, and then.
Well, he started doing some of that stuff when he was in Nirvana.
A little bit, not much though. But right. then he got Nate Mendel, and then he got William Goldsmith, the drummer of the band. They were in the same band together, Sunny Day Real Estate. And then he got Pat Smear, who was a touring member of the Foo Fighters, and they were the first original Foo Fighters lineup. And it's changed and evolved over time, and now there are six Foo Fighters, with Dave Grohl, Taylor Hawkins, Nate Mendel. Pat Smear, Chris Shiflett, and Rami Jaffe.
How do you feel about the girl backup singers?
I think it's great. I think it adds a different dynamic, and they're going to keep evolving in that way. And that's when you listen to them, and his daughter's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they're going to keep evolving. So there's more they can do now. I feel like in Skies and Neighborhood, I feel like the girl backup singers make that song.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah.
I read a lot of stuff in the Facebook groups after they did the inauguration, which I was thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the ticket to the virtual concert.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I have a dog, everybody. And she, I don't know. I saw a lot of people making comments, and I'm thinking, good. Remember that when tickets go on sale,
yeah.
So I'm not fighting you for a ticket when we're in the virtual waiting room. Like, if this is going to make or break, I don't know why people just can't accept that they do that. It shouldn't make or break how you are. I mean, it shouldn't. I have friends that are Republicans that voted for Trump. Again, I know why they did it. I don't hate them for it. But I have friends that are Republicans that voted for Trump that think that the election was stolen, and those people are the ones. I mean, I've got some wild text messages on my phone about what Brad Raffensperger did.
Yeah, I know. I see.
And I'm like,
You know what's interesting though is that like when Republicans had just figured out Rage Against the Machine was who they are. There's a very political band. And it was interesting.
He used
like,
that.
How do you guys not know? How do you guys not know that Rage Against the Machine? This is what they stood for,
right?
Like this is the band. Like this is who they are.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's. I just don't understand why people don't respect other people's views, mm-hmm. and I don't understand how people don't know that they were always. Political,
yeah,
in a silent way, not like you two. You two lost me a long time ago when they got overtly, political. I think
he started throwing his money and throwing his energy into being a philanthropist and throwing all of his energy. He wanted to see him doing that, and he's put a lot of money and energy into, I think, like World Hunger and stuff like that. And it's been interesting seeing you two. It's been interesting seeing you two kind of go down, like because even Taylor Hawkins, the drummer of Foo Fighters, was talking about that, about how they put their album sucked so bad, they had people calling Apple and like emailing how to get because they put it on on the iPad.
I got it.
They put it on there. Yeah. It was on an iPhone, right?
iTunes.
So they put it on there, and they were like, "How do you get this off of here?"
Yeah.
Like Taylor Hawkins in an interview is like, well, "You know your album sucks when people are calling left and right to figure out how to get your music off their phone."
I was a big U2 fan. I really loved them. I loved Under a Blood Red Sky, the Joshua Tree.
Mm-hmm.
I loved, and then when he started to really go, and I liked Rattle and Hum, and I think I saw the movie or the documentary. Is there, I think?
Yeah.
I have to think. I think there is one, but I have, that's all a blur. That's the 80s, but really loved them, and that's a great, I thought that was a great album. I mean, I really did, but then he just really, you know, back then, back in like 1990, you're kind of like, I don't want anybody preaching to me about politics.
A Beautiful Day, that's like a really positive song.
Right.
I could listen to that. I'm a fan of that. It's a Beautiful Day, like great song. And they did a really good halftime show after 9/11, like, where they had all those who fallen and died in 9/11 go on the Jumbotron and everything. And it was great. And they did it, like, I feel like that was the pivotal moment where they should have took a step back. Because Michael Jordan, he was killing it for years. Six championships. Six NBA championships. He could have just said, you know, rode off in the sunset. But he didn't. He went with the Washington Wizards, and then everyone slowly watched him go down. He was still great.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah, Michael Jordan. He went to another team after the Bulls. And he started playing basketball with another team.
See, I'm a Celtics fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, yeah. What's your dog's name again?
Becca.
Becca? Okay.
Make up your mind.
But, so, all right, so when you, okay, so Kennesaw, what did you think of this area when you got here from New Jersey?
Oh, from Ohio.
Ohio, okay, Ohio.
I liked it. The weird thing was, I guess you want you to pick her up. The weird thing was, is we came down here in April and May. And no one's outside.
No one's outside.
I guess it's because it's so hot. But it wasn't that hot then. And Ohio's very flat.
Yeah. You know,
when the tornado sirens go off, you're in the basement. Here when they go off, I kind of chuckle because of the hills right here. But I liked it. I liked it. I learned... I was... We never learned anything about the Civil War up north.
Oh, Lord.
So I come down here, and there's all these plaques along the road saying where, and my daughter's doing Georgia studies over in fifth grade, and I'm soaking it all in, and I'm learning all about. So then I start reading Gone with the Wind, and I never watched Gone with the Wind. I want to learn about the culture.
Now, I don't know if I've talked about this on another podcast or not, but so Sherman, are you familiar with Sherman?
General Sherman?
Yes.
Well, I'm not really familiar with him, but...
So he came down, he was pretty much the linchpin of why the Union won the Civil War, because he came down through Georgia, burned everything to the ground, and just, he cut up communication lines and travel lines, like cut up railroads, like he cut them all up, burned everything, supplies, everything. He was one of the reasons why the Union really put it was a nail in the coffin. So when I originally learned about Sherman, right, he was taught in a way of, like, as a history teacher, I had an old school history teacher when I was younger. Have you seen Lord of the Rings? Not Lord of the Rings. Have you seen Harry Potter?
Just The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay, so. They refer to Voldemort as he who shall not be named, right? And they talk about Sherman in history classes like him.
Oh, really?
Because he's like somebody that you would not respect in Georgia. He's somebody that should not be respected.
Okay.
But in New York, when I went there for a week, there's a huge golden plated thing with him on a horse, a statue of him on a horse.
Is there?
Yes.
Where?
I've walked past it. I got
in
a picture.
In New York City?
Mm-hmm. I've walked past it, yeah. So... I don't remember. I don't know if I got a picture or not. But anyway, so it's interesting.
That is interesting.
They also don't teach here, like, how bad slavery was. They kind of go around it. They don't, like a lot of it's whitewashed.
That's what we learned up
very,
north,
very whitewashed.
The slavery.
So a lot of it's very, very whitewashed in terms of like them not really, you know, getting really into the specifics of this was that. They just think
that's
that,
interesting.
Yeah. So because the Daughters of the Confederacy, I think daughters and granddaughters of veterans of Civil War, Southern Civil War veterans, they try to create a legacy, try to help like restore, like keep their legacy and make them not sound so bad. So they, put those statues up everywhere. So those statues are made by the Daughters of the Confederacy. So those statues were erected after that whole, after everything, after
right.
the fact.
Right.
So they tried to make them sound better, to make them seem better, as well as the textbooks. The textbooks were originally written in a way to gloss over slavery, gloss
right.
over why the Civil War happened. So that's why you get into a lot of fights on Facebook with people. We all get into people fights with people on Facebook about why the Civil War happened.
Right.
It was over slavery.
Right.
But it was also
by
the fact that they needed slavery here in the South for the crops and all the agricultural production because it equaled money.
Right.
So slavery equaled money.
Right.
So they needed that.
Yeah.
So that was the main reason. They wanted to keep that going. But in textbooks, totally separate situation. In textbooks, they had it written, and over time, it kept on being that way. So there's a lot. There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack there. And even in the Civil Rights era, there's a lot to unpack in the Civil Rights era.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. I am a daughter of the granddaughter of the American Revolution. My father's family came over on the Mayflower.
Nice.
And my mother's awesome. Family came from Russia. And she was first generation American. So, boy, those family gatherings. Well, we the two families never got together, but I did the Ancestry.com thing. And I went all the way back. I was all the way back into the 1600s on both sides.
Goodness.
I found draft cards for my father's side of the family, for the Civil War, for the North and the South. Also, my aunt was a genealogist back in the 80s where she did it all by mail. And she found that we were related and we were having Sunday dinner at our house. We had everybody there. And she told my father, Lou, you've got African-American relatives, and I think they're down in the South, and their last name is Pounds, and I'm going to... And my mother had a meltdown.
Oh, shit.
My father thought it was the greatest thing ever.
She had a meltdown?
My mother had a meltdown. It's not her blood. It's not her family. Like I said, my mother was Trump on steroids. She had a meltdown. We couldn't talk about it. We had to go to my uncle's house, my father's brother, and talk about it there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really, and this is New Jersey, liberal New Jersey. So those stereotypes of the South being very racist and the North not being is a complete lie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that it's just a thing. It's like so blatant in front of you. I feel like in New Jersey, I'm not really sure if you would see the Confederate flag as much as you see.
You wouldn't
here.
See it at all.
Yeah, but you see it here every day.
I'm surprised that I saw something on the news when they went to Michigan. Those white guys,
yeah,
and they all had Civil War.
I know, right?
That was a couple of months ago, and my mouth dropped open. But my mouth is dropping open on a daily basis, it seems.
The Civil War reenactments here, it's interesting because we're the only ones that reenact a war we didn't
win.
Oh,
I had a friend that did that all the time, and
yeah.
They, right all the way down to the underwear, had to do it.
Yeah. I've actually worn that before, just for a purpose of historical context, but not because I'm out there like it was just oh great, because like they would let you got when you're a kid and you live around those areas anywhere there's like a Civil War battle, that's going to be one of your field trips.
Yeah,
like that and like going to like a dairy farm, or something like that. I remember going to an ostrich farm too when I was a kid.
I lived by a place in New Jersey called Rifle Camp Park, and it was where George Washington and his troops would camp out because we used to go up there and drink beer and smoke pot, and you could see New York City. Well, that's where they would hang out and watch the British cross.
Yeah.
And so my friend's mom was a curator of a museum, and she found cannonballs dated back to the Revolutionary
that's
War.
Awesome.
So I'm very involved in history. So when I came down here, of course, I know that Gone with the Wind is based It seems to be based on fact, but with fictional characters. And Kennesaw Mountain, which they want to get rid of, is actually, what is that, the bloodiest war for the Yankees. They lost that war at Kennesaw Mountain Battlefield.
I don't know if it's not going to get rid of it, but there's a lot. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Like
it is very cool.
The hiking trail is amazing. Yeah. Like, I go there some days. Like, I haven't done it in a while, but for cardio. Like, just to hike up that my fiance about kill me. Because it's pretty steep.
I have not
gone
up
there. It can be pretty steep. But, hey, Mary Lou, thank you for sitting down and talking to me. I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Thank you for asking me.
For carving out your time to sit down with me. And it's a really good conversation. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too.
All right. You take care of yourself.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.